Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Lindsay Patterson. For Jeff Lieberman, technology is a form of art. As a researcher in personal robotics at MIT, he studies how robots can help people learn. His latest project is a wearable robotic suit called Tactile Interaction for Kinesthetic Learning, or Tickle for short. Tickle combines human and robotic learning systems to tap into the potential of tactile learning, or how much your body can subconsciously be taught with the aid of touch. I spoke to Lieberman about how Tickle works and how he ties his robotics experience into his concept of art. How did you become engaged in developing this wearable feedback suit? Is this something you had always been interested in?
Not at all, actually. Our group works on human-robot interaction in a very general context. I just started thinking about, you know, what kind of non-anthropomorphic robots could be used in the world right now in a human-robot interaction way, and what could they do to help people.
And so this is what you came up with?
I had about 4 months to plan my thesis proposal and came up with nothing for the first 3.9 months and had about 1 day left and went to sleep and had a dream about kids that have ideas in their heads and can't draw them because they haven't kind of mastered the physical ability to do so. And so I woke up from that and I started to think about that in a more general context. And I thought about how a lot of people have, you know, plenty of cognitive ability to do things, but their motor system isn't functioning properly or they're not trained properly. So people that have had neurological stress from, you know, a stroke, to also people that haven't had enough golf lessons have the same kind of issue where they haven't had the proper motor mapping from what they want to do to making their body do it. So that was kind of, you know, after a couple hours of thinking about the initial dream that I had, kind of expanded into a research project and try to approach that problem in general.
The project that you eventually came up with kind of combines having a teacher sitting by you and kind of combining this with their actual feedback.
Exactly. It's even better than that in some sense, though. It's, you know, when you learn from a teacher, you learn in a couple different pathways. And I guess the best example is something like a sport like golf or tennis. You know, you usually have the teacher near you and you watch them do the action that you're trying to do, like a forehand, and then you try to do it yourself. And there's two things that usually happen. Most commonly is looking at them, which is your visual cortex processing that information, and then you have to map that into your own body and make an image of what that means for your body to recreate it. And that's the most common thing we do, is we look at other people and map that onto ours. If that is not immediate enough, the teacher will usually give you higher level information auditorily by telling you something like, shift your weight to your left foot. And those are the two common ways you learn, but when, you know, if you take a tennis lesson and those things don't work, what always it falls back on is the teacher comes over and they help you move your own body. And the great thing about that is we have in our systems, if your body is moving in a certain way, you are learning that motion. So whether you're conscious of it or not, if your teacher is moving you in the right way, you start to learn that correct way to move. So what I wanted to do was augment what a teacher can do by doing it over every joint over your body and doing it all the time. So there's a lot of research that shows that if you have more than 1 second delay on any kind of feedback, if you're trying to learn something, the feedback is much less useful for you. So what I wanted to do is completely get rid of that delay. And you can imagine if you're swinging a golf club and as you're swinging, you're feeling on your body something that's going wrong. You could fix it during your swing instead of having to wait 5 seconds for your teacher to tell you your elbow was out.
So can you describe how it feels to actually wear the suit?
Sure. It's a very, very simple system. When you have a cell phone, you've got a little vibrating motor, and all it is a little weight on a motor spinning around. And what I wanted to really take advantage of is that cues you so immediately, once you're used to having a phone, it cues you so immediately that there's something going on, that you got a call. And what I realized is that, you know, we have so much potential in our tactile and motor systems. No one's done any research yet that shows a limitation on the amount of information our tactile system can take in at any time. People have had as many as 700 tactile actuators, like little vibro-tactile actuators, on people's bodies, and people have been able to process all of that information at the same time. And that's just kind of an amazing thing that we can do and hasn't really been taken advantage of yet. So what I wanted to do is build a system that, instead of applying force to the body, just applies vibrational signals, and hopefully your body over time learns how to interpret those signals and respond to them. And that way you can have this whole suit that weighs less than a pound, and you can wear it like a normal sweater or something, and it doesn't get in the way of your daily activity. You know, if you're playing tennis and you're wearing a 20-pound suit to help you out, it's hindering you as much as it's helping. So the way that the system works is there's a teacher and a student in the same, right now it's an optical tracking space, which means you wear a bunch of little reflective markers and a system of cameras around you, and it analyzes everything that you do. And so there's a little model of you in the computer of, like, there's markers near your elbow and there's markers near your shoulder. And from it, finding those markers can kind of infer where your skeleton is and how, you know, how much your elbow is bent and that sort of thing. So that's the first part of the system. And that's monitoring the teacher and the student. And it can happen where the teacher and the student are doing something at the same time, or the teacher can pre-record their motion, and then the student can enter the space later, or, you know, after the lesson is over, they can go back and watch the teacher in this new way and apply it later, just kind of like a, you know, it's like a recording. So once you've got those things, the optical tracking system working, in real time, it can analyze the teacher's position, analyze the student's position, calculate an error between the two, and vibrate proportionally to that error over every joint. So the easiest example I can give is a wrist motion. So if you're moving your wrist in or out, and that's really common, an issue with a lot of sports or that sort of thing. So if your wrist is too far in, and what I mean by that is if your teacher has his wrist or her wrist less far in than you do, and you are pushing yours further, the inside of your wrist will have a little vibrating motor, and the more that you're off from the right motion, the more that that motor will vibrate. And what that means is if you start going back to the right way, it'll vibrate less and less and less, and it'll totally go away when you're in the right spot. And if you go even further and kind of overcorrect your motion, the vibrator on the other side of your wrist will start vibrating and kind of push you back in the other way. But instead of it actually applying force, it's just giving you information that your wrist is in the wrong place.
So it's just kind of guiding you in the right direction?
Exactly. Initially, it's this overwhelming amount of information, and we haven't even had a chance to build a suit that's complicated enough to be doing this over your whole body. But the idea is that after using this for a couple of weeks, your body will just subconsciously interpret that and pull you in the right direction.
So theoretically, you could be practicing, well, with this suit, you could be practicing alone, kind of with the guidance of your teacher, but without the teacher actually being there?
Exactly. You could have your hour lesson, and you could record your teacher through that whole lesson and then go play it back later and practice. You can slow down the teacher's motion if you really want to analyze the whole thing, speed it up slowly, you know, back up to full speed, and every single time you did it, you'd be getting, it would be like your teacher is kind of helping you move through the motions. And even beyond that, you can imagine where there's, you know, a couple years down the line, if this became a widespread product, that you could record professional athletes or professional musicians or whatever doing different motions. Like you could record Tiger Woods's sand wedge, and then you could play that back as you practice your sand wedge and try to match how he does it, and then get a different player's and kind of get this different perspective about what does it actually feel like when he does it the way that he does it.
So I just have one more question for you, and because you mentioned before that you're interested mainly in art, and I've noticed on your webpage you do a lot of additional art and photography. I'm just wondering, how does your work with robotics reflect on your experience as an artist?
I would say it's all tied together. You know, I work in robotics and human-robot interaction, and I work on art, and a lot of my art in photography is about what is there but you normally can't perceive, you know, things that happen too fast or things that are in a different frequency range than people can hear. And a lot of robotics installations that I do explore the same kind of thing. And a friend of mine, Dan Paluska, put it really well when he said that for a technologist as an artist, the technology is kind of like the modern paintbrush. It's not an end-all, be-all of itself, but it's another form of expression. So the more that I do robotics research and kind of learn the electronics or the hardware or the mechanical design, the more that I can use those as tools for expression for my own artwork or what I have in my head.
That was Jeff Lieberman from the Personal Robots Group at MIT. And I'm Lindsay Patterson for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.